Wishocracy: How to spend $27.2 billion a year on curing disease without it getting stolen by lobbyists, committees, and people whose main qualification is seniority. Democracy, but designed by someone who actually wanted it to work. On Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the studio audience picked the right answer 91% of the time. The phone-a-friend expert, 65%. Your entire system of government is phone-a-friend. You phone 535 members of Congress who don't know the subject, aren't trying to answer your question, and are being paid by one of the answer choices. Then you act surprised when the answer is wrong. On Wishonia, we found the same pattern 4,297 years ago. Random crowds outperform credentialed experts on every question where the expert has any incentive to lie, which in government is all of them. So we stopped phoning friends. We built a system that asks everyone. We named it after ourselves, which your species would call branding. Wishocracy replaces committees with code and representatives with mathematics. It lets 8 billion people collectively decide how to spend $21.8 billion a year on curing disease without any of the money being stolen by lobbyists, committees, or people whose main qualification is seniority. The difference between this and the NIH is like asking 200 bureaucrats what you should have for lunch versus asking your stomach. Your stomach has never once funded a colleague's lunch out of professional courtesy. You've passed a 1% treaty. You've got $27.2 billion a year flowing into the 1% treaty fund. That's the good news. The bad news is that humans are involved. Every pool of money humanity has ever created has attracted lobbyists the way a dropped ice cream cone attracts ants, except ants at least work hard. After the automatic deductions, the cost of convincing humans to stop killing each other tax, here is what's left. 10%, or $2.72 billion, goes to Victory Incentive Alignment bond investors to repay campaign funders. Another 10%, or $2.72 billion, is allocated to political incentives, incentive alignment bonds, to keep politicians aligned. The remaining 80%, totaling $21.8 billion, is the research share available for clinical trial allocation. How Wishocracy allocates the collective choice share of the 1% treaty fund. Your decentralized Institutes of Health network functions as a decentralized crowdfunding platform. Anyone can submit a campaign proposal. Wishocracy allocates the part of the medical research share that requires collective judgment, infrastructure, common tooling, standards, and other public goods markets do badly. It's Kickstarter, but backed by the GDP of nations instead of your friend's credit card. What your decentralized FDA handles automatically. No voting required. Which treatments get tested? Companies register, patients choose. Capitalism doing something useful. Which diseases get researched? Patients join trials for their conditions. People tend to be motivated about their own mortality. Resource allocation within trials, market prices, and participant choices. What Wishocracy actually decides? The hard stuff. Allocation across campaign proposals competing for 1% treaty fund funds. Infrastructure campaigns, the boring but essential plumbing, decentralized framework for drug assessment development, Epic Electronic Health Record, or EHR, integration project, security audit program, alternative decentralized FDA, competition, novel concept for government, patient trial subsidies, where almost all the money goes, patient trial subsidies program, the big one, disability adjusted life years, or DALYS, weighted subsidies that flow automatically via bonkas, so every dollar buys the most healthy life years possible. Pragmatic clinical trial insurance pool, liability coverage pooled across all trials. Everything else, data storage, negative results publishing, is a condition of receiving funding, not a separate budget item. Publishing your results costs nothing. Storing data costs less than nothing relative to the budget. These are protocol maintenance, not democratic decisions. You don't vote on whether to pay the electricity bill. How it works. pairwise comparisons between campaigns. Your brain can't rank a list of 20 priorities. It gives up around item number 7, but it's fantastic at comparing two things. So instead of asking, rank these 10,000 campaign proposals, the system asks, what's more important right now? Security audits versus EHR integration? Alternative protocol implementation versus trial insurance pool expansion? Protocol provider A versus protocol provider B? You make a choice. You do this a few times with different random pairs. It takes 5 minutes, less time you spend choosing a Netflix show, and considerably more important. Millions of other people do the same. An algorithm aggregates all these head-to-head comparisons into funding allocations. No filibustering, no horse trading, no senators holding medical research hostage because they want a highway in their district. Your decentralized FDA allocates resources within pragmatic clinical trials. Patients choose which trials to join, so diseases get funded in proportion to how many people have them. Wishocracy allocates resources between the infrastructure and public goods campaigns that markets can't handle. One is the engine, the other is the steering wheel. You need both unless you enjoy driving into walls. Why this actually works? Math warning. When millions of people make pairwise choices, something almost magical happens, by which I mean statistically inevitable, which is the only kind of magic that works. Random pairs prevent gaming. Corrupting your current system requires buying access to 535 members of Congress, which is so affordable that every major industry does it simultaneously. Corrupting wishocracy would require bribing 8 billion random voters. And the only way to bribe 8 billion people is to offer them something they actually want, which is the system working correctly. The attack vector for wishocracy is giving people what they voted for. Your security vulnerability is democracy. It's also immune to marketing. There's no ballot measure to link to, no vote yes on Proposition 7 ad to run. Each voter sees random pairs, so the only way to advertise is to convince people your campaign is better than whatever it happens to be compared against, which is just making a good argument. Your species finds this deeply unsettling. Independence is structurally guaranteed. SaraWiki identified 4 conditions for crowd wisdom: diversity, independence, decentralization, and aggregation. Your elections destroy the most critical one. First-past-the-post voting forces strategic voting. People pick the viable candidate rather than the best one, so each ballot reflects what voters think other voters will do rather than what they actually want. It's an ant-death spiral. Each ant follows the one ahead, the leader follows the last, and the whole colony walks in a circle until it dies. Pairwise comparisons can't death spiral because there's nothing to vote strategically about. Which matters more, security audits or electronic health records or EHR integration? Has no spoiler candidate, no wasted vote, no reason to care what your neighbor picked. You just answer honestly. When millions of people answer honestly, you get wisdom. When millions of people game a two-option system, you get two candidates that 330 million people chose from 330 million people, and nobody likes either of them. Statistical models, Bradley Terry, PageRank, extract global preferences from individual comparisons. The same math that ranks Google search results can rank humanity's medical priorities. Google uses it to find cat videos. You'll use it to cure cancer. Progress. Outliers cancel out. The guy who votes fund my personal jetpack gets drowned out by the millions voting for cure my mother's Alzheimer's. Wisdom of crowds emerges. Remember the 91% versus 65% gap from Millionaire? Your species already proved that random people outperform credentialed individuals at picking the right answer. Wishocracy just applies this to questions that matter. Example with real numbers. 5 million people vote. Each makes 20 comparisons. That's 100 million data points. The algorithm processes them in seconds. Output: allocate 97% to patient trial subsidies, 1% to protocol development and maintenance, 1% to security audits and trial insurance, 1% to EHR integration. No committee meetings were harmed in the making of this budget. It's democracy without the shouting. The stupidity is still there, but it's evenly distributed across millions of people, and thus cancels out. Your species calls this the wisdom of crowds. Mine calls it obvious. About half of the 847 civilizations I've advised adopted some version of wishocracy. The other half voted against it, which turned out to be the last thing they voted on. Your current system is phone a friend, but your friend is being bribed. That 91% versus 65% comparison is actually generous to your politicians. Phone a friend experts have three advantages over members of Congress. They're trying to get the right answer. A senator on the Health Appropriations Committee is trying to get reelected. These are different objectives. One of them occasionally results in good medical research funding, by accident. The other one does it on purpose. They're selected for knowledge. You phone your friend who knows history for history questions. Your Health Appropriations Committee chair got there through 30 years of seniority and prolific fundraising. At no point did anyone check whether they could name a protein. They're not being paid by one of the answer choices. If the phone-a-friend expert were receiving $127 million from answer C, you'd call that corruption. When a senator receives money from a pharmaceutical company and then votes on pharmaceutical regulation, you call that lobbying, which is the same thing but with a syllable that makes it sound boring enough that nobody gets angry. So, your current system isn't 65%. It's phone a friend where your friend doesn't know the subject, isn't trying to answer your question, and is being paid to say B. Against that baseline, 91% seems less like a modest improvement and more like replacing a broken compass with GPS. The 26-point gap is a floor, not a ceiling. Here's the part your economists should find uncomfortable. Trivia is the best case for experts. There's one correct answer. The expert either knows it or doesn't. Nobody is paying them to say Constantinople when the answer is Istanbul. No lobbyist is taking them to dinner. Their career doesn't depend on getting it wrong. And they still only hit 65%. Governance decisions are worse for experts on every dimension. The right answer requires knowledge no individual has. Friedrich Hayek won a Nobel Prize in 1974 for explaining why. No central planner, no matter how brilliant, can aggregate the dispersed knowledge that millions of people carry about their own diseases, their own priorities, their own willingness to trade one outcome for another. No committee knows what it's like to have lupus. No appropriations chair knows which rare disease is one breakthrough away from a cure. But the millions of people who have lupus know, and the researchers who are close to a breakthrough know, and a system that asks all of them knows more than any committee ever could. Experts have financial incentives to give the wrong answer. On Millionaire, nobody pays the expert to lie. In Congress, it's the business model. Experts are selected for the wrong criteria. On Millionaire, you pick your smartest friend. In Congress, the selection process optimizes for charisma, name recognition, and the ability to stand at a podium without saying anything career-ending. The overlap between this skill set and knows which diseases to fund is, as far as I can tell, zero. So if crowds outperform experts by 26 percentage points on questions where experts have every possible advantage, the gap on governance decisions where experts are compromised, poorly selected, and missing most of the relevant information is almost certainly larger. The 91% versus 65% gap is the floor. The ceiling is the Soviet Union, which was the most ambitious phone-a-friend experiment in history, a small group of credentialed experts making resource allocation decisions for 286 million people. It ran for 69 years. It did not go well. Why markets solved this, and why you still need wishocracy? Hayek's solution to the knowledge problem was markets. Prices aggregate dispersed information automatically. If millions of people want more of something, the price goes up, and producers make more. No committee required. Your species has been doing this for thousands of years, and it works so well that you barely notice it, the way you barely notice breathing until someone puts a pillow over your face. But markets have a blind spot. They only work when someone can profit from the solution. Drug companies will fund research into diseases that sell expensive pills to rich countries forever. They will not fund cures for rare diseases, off-patent treatments, or anything where the profit model is everyone benefits but nobody pays. These are called public goods, and markets handle them the way your cat handles a bath. Wishocracy is what you build when you need Hayek-style information aggregation but can't rely on price signals. It takes the same principle, millions of individual decisions aggregated into collective intelligence, and applies it to the things markets won't touch. It's the free market's missing organ, the part that funds what's important instead of just what's profitable. Hayek diagnosed the disease in 1945. On Wishonia, we built the cure several millennia earlier. Better late than never. From priorities to projects, where wishes become tasks. Great. So the pairwise slider allocation tells you curing Alzheimer's is a top priority. Wonderful. Now what? Having a priority without a plan is just a wish, and wishes, as a rule, don't cure anything. Wishocracy translates that priority into action. AI breaks it down. An AI takes the impossible goal of cure Alzheimer's and breaks it into thousands of smaller, concrete, fundable tasks. Cure Alzheimer's becomes map protein structures. That becomes run AlphaFold on these sequences. That becomes rent computing time. Every impossible problem is just a series of possible steps arranged in a line. Your species figured this out for building pyramids 4,500 years ago, but keeps forgetting to apply it to medicine. The bounty board. The system posts these tasks to a global marketplace. It's like eBay, but for saving humanity. Wanted, a cure for Alzheimer's. Bounty, $10 billion. Wanted, a map of all protein misfolding patterns. Bounty, $500 million. The world competes. The best teams from around the world, from MIT to some kid in a garage in Lagos, bid on these tasks. The system funds multiple approaches in parallel. The ones that show promise get more funding. The ones that fail lose funding instantly. It's venture capital, but for not dying. Your species already uses this method to decide which restaurants survive and which phone apps get downloaded. Time to try it with the thing that kills you. Why the algorithm is the constitution. Your species has a habit of writing beautiful rules and then immediately finding people to break them. Your constitution guarantees free speech, and your government classifies documents. Your laws prohibit bribery, and your lobbying industry does it with a receipt. Every protection you've ever designed relies on humans to enforce it, and humans can be bought, threatened, promoted, or distracted by a sufficiently interesting scandal. On Wishonia, we tried enforcement-based protections for about 200 years before concluding that constitutional constraints enforced by people are just suggestions with better typography. So we put the protections in the math. Algorithmic protections. Rules nobody can break because they're not rules.
Rare disease protection. Your instinct is to write a law. At least X percent of funding must go to rare diseases. Then someone defines where in a way that excludes their rival's disease, and a committee meets quarterly to argue about the definition, and a lobbyist takes the committee chair to dinner. We solved this with three algorithms. 1. Disability-adjusted life years, or DALY, weighting per capita, not total burden. A disease that ruins 1,000 lives completely gets funded proportionally to one that mildly inconveniences 10 million. The algorithm doesn't know how many people have the disease. It knows how much each person suffers. This is the difference between how many votes does this disease have and how badly does this disease need fixing. Your democracy counts the first. Wishania counts the second. 2. Quadratic funding. The number of unique supporters matters more than total dollars. 10,000 people each caring deeply about a rare disease outweigh one billionaire caring mildly about a common one. The math is, funding is proportional to the square of the sum of square roots of individual contributions. If that sentence made your eyes glaze over, good. Glazing over is what protects it from politicians, who can only corrupt things they understand, which is a surprisingly small category. 3. Diminishing returns. Each additional dollar spent on an already well-funded disease buys less marginal health improvement. The 100th million for cancer research buys less than the first million for a neglected tropical disease. The algorithm knows this because it measures dailies prevented per dollar and maximizes that, not total dollars spent. A congressman maximizes total dollars spent because that's what the press release measures. The algorithm maximizes actual health because nobody programmed it to care about press releases. Transparency. There is no classify button. The system publishes all allocations, all results, all failures. Not because a law requires it, but because the publication function doesn't have an off switch. You can't vote to hide data for the same reason you can't vote to make gravity go sideways. The system doesn't have that gear. Every failed trial, every dollar spent, every outcome measured. Your current system publishes roughly half of clinical trial results. The other half disappear into filing cabinets because the results were embarrassing. On Wishonia, embarrassing results is not a category. Results is. The filing cabinet was never built. Corruption resistance. First, the treaty strips out the investor and political slices before discretionary allocation begins, so the people with the strongest incentive to game the system do not control the medical research share. Within that medical share, patient participation and protocol choice automatically direct the trial-by-trial money that behaves well under market signals. Wishocracy governs the remainder, the infrastructure, standards, and other shared goods that actually require collective judgment. If someone corrupts the voting layer, they still do not capture bond payouts, political incentives, or the patient-directed flow of trial participation money. They only distort the subset that genuinely depends on collective choice. Compare that to your current system, where a single senator on the Appropriations Committee can redirect nearly everything. Your corruption ceiling is dramatically lower because the architecture narrows what is even available for human discretion. Most of the money never passes through a room with a door you can close. The two hard rules. Almost everything is algorithmic. Almost. Two constraints require actual rules because they define what the system is, not how it operates. 1. Scope. The fund is for health and medical research. This is defined by the 1% treaty, not by Wishocracy. No amount of pairwise voting can redirect it to weapons, infrastructure, or your senator's cousin's construction company. The system doesn't accept proposals outside scope. It's not that voting weapons would fail, it's that weapons isn't a category the ballot can contain. You can't write in "build a missile" on a medical research ballot for the same reason you can't deposit a sandwich at an ATM. The machine doesn't accept that input. 2. Bodily autonomy. You modify your own neurochemistry, nobody else's. Not by majority vote, not by executive order, not by a very convincing TED talk. The system has no modify this person function. But unlike transparency, where the absence of a button is sufficient protection, bodily autonomy requires a legal prohibition because someone could build coercion mechanisms outside the system. So this one is a law, the only law. On Wishonia, it's the shortest statute on the books, self. Everything else is math. What Wishocracy measures? The anti-Fed. Your Federal Reserve has two targets, maximum employment, keep everyone too busy to ask questions, and 2% inflation, steal 2% of purchasing power annually and call it stability. By these metrics, a medieval serf working sun up to sun down while his currency devalues is a policy success.
The metrics are not broken. They measure exactly what they were designed to measure, which is obedience and extraction. For the full horror show, see how central banks fund your death. Wishocracy measures four things. 1. Median health-adjusted life years. Not average, which lets billionaires living to 120 mask millions dying at 60. Not GDP, which counts the cost of your chemotherapy as economic growth. Median, the person in the middle. Health-adjusted, years lived well, not years spent deteriorating in a hospital that charges $50 for aspirin. Is the typical person living longer and healthier? Yes or no? If no, the system is failing. No amount of GDP growth excuses it. 2. Disability-adjusted life years, or dailies, prevented per dollar. Efficiency. Is each dollar buying the maximum possible reduction in human suffering? The algorithm optimizes this automatically via diminishing returns curves. Your current system doesn't measure this at all. The NIH measures dollars spent, which is like a restaurant measuring ingredients purchased instead of customers fed. You can spend a fortune and accomplish nothing. This metric makes that visible. 3. Treatment access rate. What percentage of people who need a validated treatment can actually get it? If you cure cancer, but only rich people can afford the cure, the access rate is low and the system is failing. This metric is why the algorithm pushes toward cheap, scalable treatments over expensive, bespoke ones. Not because someone wrote a rule, because the algorithm scores better when more people are reached. 4. Discovery velocity. New treatments validated per year. The other three metrics tell you where you are. This one tells you how fast you're moving. Your current speedometer measures grants awarded, which is like measuring how fast you're driving by counting how much gas you bought. These are the metrics your central banks should have been using for the last century. They didn't because median health-adjusted life years would have revealed that your economy was making people sicker while telling them they were richer. It is much easier to target 2% inflation and declare victory while your citizens die of diseases that were curable with the money you printed for banks. On Washonia, we don't declare victory. The algorithm updates the dashboard. Everyone can see the numbers. There is no hide button. I believe I mentioned that.